You listen to all three of those songs, they have a common denominator, a common theme to the which we would like to direct your thoughts today, to the book of Revelations, chapter number 5. Book of Revelations, chapter 5. In this scripture, we know that the rapture of the church has already taken place. And there are some heavenly scenes that John is being allowed to see. And if you would stand with me as we look at verse number 8. There was one who sat upon a throne who had a book in his hand, and they couldn't find anybody that was worthy to take the book. And finally there stood up a lamb as it had been slain, and he was worthy to come and take the book out of him that sat upon the throne. And verse number 8 says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. We are interested today in the prayers of the saints. There at that point, we see the angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, standing with the prayers of the saints. And then in chapter 8, if you would, verse number 3, I said something about an angel. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Again, this angel has taken the prayers of the saints and has added incense to it, and it's being set and lifted up before the altar, before the throne of God. I'm interested today in the prayers of the saints. Father, we pray you'd help us to preach with power. We ask that you would teach us of your word, teach us of your scripture, teach us by your spirit, lead us, guide us. Help us this day to see truth. For these favors we plead and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. What a potent force prayer is. Amen. What a great access we have, but how seldom we use it. Did not the Lord say, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Here you and I, as the Christians, the believers, the saints of God, have the opportunity to go into our bedrooms or into our closets and shut the door behind us and get on our knees and pray. We can take our petition unto God and spread it out before Him and call upon His name, and mysteriously He hears us and He answers us. Oh my soul, what a privilege it is to know that prayer changes things. And these scriptures in the book of Revelations, in a coming day, we're looking forward to that day. Somehow the angel takes all our prayers that have been bottled up and he releases them upon the altar and he adds incense unto those prayers. Imagine what the saints have prayed. They've prayed in times of great fear. They've prayed in times of great anguish and in times of great expectations. And all those prayers now have been released and they've all been poured out before God at his altar, before his throne. Imagine, if you will, that prayer never reaches God the way it leaves our lips. We pray clumsily, ineptly, we pray feebly, and yet somehow between here and there, the Holy Ghost comes and energizes it. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, He endorses it. Did He not say, ask anything in my name and I'll do it? I believe when we pray, we ought to ask in Jesus' name. We always ought to ask in Jesus' name, not in the preacher's name, not in the name of the church, not in the name of any other than the name of Jesus. There is something about that name. Amen. Now, I want you to know that the Lord, because that He's endorsed our prayers, He never ignores, nor does He ever neglect our prayers. He always gives an answer. Now, yes, the answer may seem delayed for some time, but hear me, friends. The prayer of every saint of Jesus Christ that I prayed in His name has been heard and will be answered. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. Here in the book of Revelation, We see God's angel breaking open that golden vial, or that golden bottle, as we may speak, and pouring our prayers out before the Lord. Those prayers that were spoken, those prayers that have been answered, they have been poured out. And incense has been added unto it. That is a special perfume that would be offered unto a God. Okay, now if you would look this morning in Psalm 141, verse number 2, I want you to see what David says quickly about prayer in Psalm 141, verse number 2. When the Holy Spirit energizes your prayers, when the Lord Jesus Christ endorses your prayers become a great force to be reckoned with. The devil will tell you how clumsy and feeble and weary you really are. But when God gets a hold of your prayers, they become a force. Do you believe that? I want to tell you today, pray without ceasing. And in Psalm 141, David in verse number 2 says, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense." David's prayer. Boy, he prayed a lot of different things. And he said, "Let it be set before thee as incense." In Revelation chapter 8, prayer is being set forth with incense. Isn't that great? Now let's go a little bit further back in Psalms 56. And we'll try to anchor there just for a couple of minutes this morning. In Psalms 56, I want to study a little bit quickly about prayer. First point I want to see this morning is David's wanderings. We see it in verse 1. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." Verse 5. "Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul." David here is pleading and praying for mercy. He has fled from the king that's sitting on the throne of Jerusalem there, King Saul. Yet David's been anointed king. He's really the king. But Saul's got jealous and has turned against him. And he's running David, chasing him, my friend, wanting to take David's life. And David, in his running, he runs into a certain hold or an encampment of the Philistines. And now the Philistines have taken him. You may say, well, at least King Saul ain't got him. Don't forget about something. The Philistines, David had killed their mighty leader, one of their mighty men, Goliath. And the Philistines are not going to forget that. Therefore, David has been taken. Preacher, how do you know? It says it in the title of Psalms 56. Read there. "To the chief musician upon Jonathalim Rechim, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath." When the Philistines took him in Gath. Here David's been taken. He's been outnumbered. He's been outpowered. He, my friend, has been completely ready to be devoured by the enemy. Let's see what he's thinking here. He says the enemy's numerous. Verse 2, "For they be many that fight against me." He say they are barbarous. He says in verse 1, "For man would swallow me up." To be swallowed up means to be devoured by a bloodthirsty mob. That's what he says. They're barbarous. And they're relentless. "He fighting daily oppresseth me," at the end of verse number 1. Verse number 2, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up." They're relentless in their attack. Hear me, the devil's relentless with you. He fights against you daily. He wars against you each and every day. He wants to devour you. He's bloodthirsty and he's after you. Read in verse 5. They've all come against him now. They're unanimous, his enemies are. "Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves." They all unanimously come against David. He feels, my friend, like the only one that's in this certain place that wants to serve God. Everybody else has outnumbered him. Oh, but hear me, friend. Just one plus God is a majority. Amen. David's now, he's wandering here, and this is a spiteful crowd. They take his words and they change his words and turn them against him. Now, I know people never do that to you, but they did it to David. When he'd try to praise God, they'd take his words and try to turn them around on him. And my friend, they were a malicious bunch. "They hide themselves and they mark my steps. They wait for my soul." In other words, if you're marking somebody's steps, some of you deer hunters mark a deer's steps. You're tracking him. What are you going to do when you find him? You're going to kill him. I'm telling these Philistines, they had tracked David. They were ready to kill him. David, my friend, let's notice all his weary steps. Running from Saul, looking for refuge, looking for a place of safety, looking for a place of security. And he runs right headlong into another enemy that takes him in and absorbs him and is ready to devour him. Sometimes David felt like he just could not win. It's the way you feel. You feel like today you just can't win. But look what David says in verse number 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Thou tellest my wanderings. David had spent a lot of time wandering throughout this place of looking for safety and looking for refuge. Yet now the enemy has encamped him and has taken him a prisoner. And he says, but God, I know you know my wanderings. You know every step I've taken. You know right where I am. Never, never forget this. God is cognizant of everything you do. He knows where you are. He knows your condition. My friend, you're not there alone. He's promised you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And there he is, friend. When the enemy's around you, hey, he can spread a table in the presence of your enemies and cause you to feast upon him. David said, Lord, you know my wanderings. And he's going to continue to serve God anyhow, anyway. David's wanderings. Number two, I want you to see David's weeping. He says in verse 8, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? David says, Lord, I know that my tears to you are so valuable that you'll take your golden bottle and you'll take each teardrop and you'll put them in your bottle. He takes those tears, God does, and keeps them. They are a treasure to him. He looks at them and thinks on them. He thinks of why you cry them, why you're disappointed, why you're brokenhearted, why you're burdened about the nation, why you're burdened about your family, what it is that concerns you, whether you're broken and remorseful and repentant over sin. God knows why it is you shed your tears. And he takes those tears, you know, mama, in the middle of the night when you wake up crying over your youngins. God sees those tears that run down your face and down your neck onto your bedside there. God sees the tears that fall throughout this altar, lands on your Bible. You try to wipe them with a handkerchief. But God takes those tears and he dries, he puts them up inside that bottle there. And I want you to know that he seals them. He preserves those tears. He looks at them. God never forgets. He looks at those tears on how you were treated, on what broke your heart, on that disappointment that come. It's highly precious to God. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than out of gold that perisheth. Listen, he said, let gold perish, but I'll take the tears, amen, and put the tears of mama and the tears of daddy and the tears of the disappointed and brokenhearted down in a vial. Not only will he do that, but he says, are they not in thy book? God takes our tears and puts them in his book. Preacher, his book of life? No, his book of remembrance. I was studying in the book of Malachi chapter 3 about God's book of remembrance. The Bible says, a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Every thought we've ever thought about him, he's recorded in his book of remembrance. Friend, I wonder, what have you been broken about? What have you been crushed about? Have you shed tears? Has the devil told you, nobody cares, the preacher don't care, the church don't care, God don't care? Friend, I want to emphasize to you, God cares so much for you, my friend. He has such compassion for you that he takes every tear from your eye and puts it in a bottle and looks upon it daily, hourly, minutely, second by second. God does all those things. Why? Because he loves you. And he loves me. He puts our tears in a bottle and our tears in his book. The Bible does tell us, does it not? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What a promise, amen. We've seen David's wandering. We've seen David's weeping. What about David's weapon? I mean, I don't see David getting a sword here. He's weeping. Look what he says. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back, verse 9. David's weapon. What is his weapon? It's to bow his knee to an almighty God and cry unto him. The devil will try to tell you your prayers won't get through, that your cries won't be heard. Oh, but God hears the cries of his people. Hear the cries of the sinner that wants to be saved. Hears the cry of the mother who has a child in trouble. He hears your cries, friend. And when he hears your cries, the Bible says he'll begin to answer those prayers. And David says, then will my enemies be turned back. Why will your enemies be turned back? Why? For this I know, for God is for me. He said, God will be merciful. God will protect me. God will prevail for me. Hey, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Hey, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I've been going through a trouble and trial. I was down praying last night and reading these verses of Scripture again. And I ran back over at 9. I just immediately fell out of my chair onto my knees when he said, this I know. Hey, friend, do you know that God's for you? He said this, that David said, I'm surrounded by Saul. I'm surrounded by the Philistines. He knows my wanderings. He's keeping my tears. He said up in verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David says, I've been afraid. You're not alone in being afraid. He said, I've been afraid. But what time I've been afraid, I will trust in thee. All these things going on in his life, friend. Yet his weapon is to go to God in prayer. He said, I'm going to serve you no matter where I'm at, no matter what condition. I'm going to serve you because God will protect me. God will prevail for me. Hey, he's never lost a battle. There's a champion in our corner, amen. God is for us. This I know, says David. That's our weapon. Hey, our weapons, they're not carnal. Hey, think about it. Old Simon Peter drew his sword out there when they came to arrest Jesus and chopped off the high priest's servant's ear. And the Lord told him, put up your sword. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Put it up. I mean, he could have called the angels to come and lift him out of there if he wanted to, but that's not what he wanted to do. He said, you put that up right now. I'm telling you what, the only weapon he had was shed blood. It defeated the devil, amen. I want to say lastly this morning, we'll be ready to close. We see David's weapon, but let's see David's wisdom. He says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. David begins to praise God. Things are going wrong. The enemy's got him. He looks like he's wandering. He's the anointed king, and he's an exile. He's a fugitive seeking shelter. But he says, I'm going to praise his name. Oh, that's wise, friend. I believe you can praise God before he ever does a thing for you. Hey, preacher, you're crazy. Well, let's go back there to Jericho. God said, go around one time today. Go around one time tomorrow. And then the next day one. But on the seventh day, I want you to shout. As you begin to go around, the walls hadn't failed yet. But he said, I want you to shout. I want you to praise my name. Well, wait a minute, Lord, you give us something to praise you for. No. You praise me because of who I am and what I'm going to do for you. And when they stepped out on faith and just shouted on credit, all the walls fell and they got a great victory. I want to tell you what, David was wise. He said, I am going to praise God. Hear me, friend, there's coming a day when the angel's going to step out, Mom. Hey, Dad, you know, goodness, it's concerned about that little one. And that job that was taken away from you. You got treated awful. You got treated ugly. It don't look like there's no justice. Hey, God's took those tears. It's been cried right here in your family and in this church and put them in his bottle. He's looking at them right now. There's going to come a day when he's going to unleash the bowls of his wrath because of our tears that were shed on how we were treated. And he says he's going to pour them out before the altar of God. Put on some incense, some fragrance, some perfume. And they'll go out before God. And God, my friend, justice will reign in that day. Hear me today, friend. Your prayer life. Are the tears being shed? Are they written in the book of his remembrance? Hear me this morning, friend, as we get ready to close. There's coming a day when we won't cry no more tears. He's going to wipe all our tears away, all our sorrows, griefs, disappointments. God's going to wipe them all away. I went over to see a sister this last week in the Bryan Center. She began to cry about her husband, been gone 4 years, and he's in glory now. But she began to weep and cry because she missed him so bad. You know what God's doing? He's trying to comfort her and even capturing all her tears. So I'm going to remember that, what death's done to her family. I'm going to unleash my wrath on death. Hey, friend, what is it that's hurt you so bad? God knows just exactly your disappointment. And my friend, he's ready to step out in your behalf. You stand with me this morning. Nobody's looking. Your heads are bowed. Those would come the instruments, please, this morning. You'll just step on up. I've tried to preach rust quickly, what the Lord would want me to preach. Your head's bowed, there's nobody looking. Might be somebody here say, boy, I sure am glad to know God's for me. I want to run down to that altar. I want to pour out my need to Him again this morning. I believe He's heard folks are coming. I believe He's heard me. But I believe that I want Him to hear me again. David wouldn't have stood in a service like this if he was really hurting. He wouldn't have stood there. He'd have stepped out from his pew. He'd have run down here to this altar and said, oh God, I plead for mercy. My cry is made to Thee. Would You deliver me? Hey, the Bible says that He's going to deliver David. He said, You're going to deliver me from death. You're going to deliver me from my feet from falling. I'm going to walk in the light of the Lord. Folks are coming. Others need to come, friend. Anymore, come on. Mind them quickly. I'm glad we serve a God who cares so much for us that He puts our tears in a bottle. That takes our prayers and puts them in a vial. Friend, you better make sure you got something to put in there. Our Father and our God, we thank You this morning for the privilege and time of prayer, time of worship to Thee. God, we thank You for this great audience that's come this way, for these needs this morning, Father, being met in this altar. Lord, David was a wanderer. David knew that God knew every one of his steps. The steps of a righteous man, they are directed and ordered by the Lord. God, today I pray that You would lead us. God, even though, Father, the devil may say, well, he's brought you into trouble. God, there was a time when the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And He was there without sin. And God, we may be going through tough times in our lives, but God, I know You can bring us through. Oh, David, he was weeping. Oh, he was broken over what was going on in his life. He couldn't hardly take any more than was already dealt to him. Oh, but old David there, he had a weapon. And he pulled that weapon out of prayer, accessed the throne of God, calling upon One that is greater than all. He that is the rock, He that is the Almighty, He that is the sure One, He that will never leave nor forsake us. God, I'm thankful that Jesus has always been right there with us and we have access to Him. What a privilege we have in prayer. Lord, today, old David was wise. Oh, he praised the Lord. God, I pray that America would praise the Lord. That this church would praise the Lord. That mom or dad, they'd praise the Lord right in the middle of the circumstance. I pray, God, they'd see trouble as an opportunity to draw close unto the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray You'd bless every prayer request mentioned. Father, we pray, God, this morning, Your hand would be upon the service and meet each need according to Thy tender love and kindness. God, we plead with You today for Your mercy as only You can provide. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.